Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Please call us with your true story at 866-480-LIVE. That's 866-480-LIVE. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Thank you, Dan. It is so good to be back, and we welcome all of you to Crosswalk Talk. And I want to welcome Pat back. She's been busy with her music ministry, which has expanded now, by the way, and she's not only ministering with her puppet, but also with pets, and it's going so well. Thank you, Jesus, for creative ideas. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. People need to receive love in every way they can get it. And today we're going to be sharing a true story with you. A testimony that was sent in, we have permission to use it, that began with Christians meeting online, and Pat's going to explain that to you, and how revival is breaking out as God is networking us together, people that have never met before from different sides of the country,
Amen.
But we have the same Holy Spirit. How prayers are being answered, people that are praying for their friends and relatives to be free and to be restored and transformed. And as I look back, I can see that I received a prophecy about this about 15, 16 years ago, and it seemed totally out of reach at the time, that God is a miracle-working God. He's been making my weak places strong, as He will yours. And He said that one day I would be a minister to ministers. Seemed totally out of reach because I had been the woman at the well and was the queen of foolishness, really, bad decisions, exhibit A of the wrong things. And it's not something that I make happen. God is making divine connections, divine appointments these days. But this had been prophesied, and since then we've seen the Holy Spirit just fall on groups as we're teaching classes, fall on congregations. In one class I was teaching on how to minister to others, the Holy Spirit just fell after the most common message on forgiveness, but God took it to deeper levels, and people were just in silence. No one said a word for over an hour.
Right.
No one would break the silence. It was the power of the Holy Spirit ministering in our lives about going deeper with forgiveness. And He's just touching people all over. In the testimony that Pat's going to share with you today, when the Holy Spirit touched the pastor, He touched everyone in the room.
Exactly.
But before I give away the whole story, I want to let Pat introduce this, how she was contacted by this minister. As I say, we don't make it happen. We don't try to force people to listen to us, much less men. But they are contacting us because truly there is no male or female in the body of Christ, and we all need each other. Amen?
Amen.
Well, share with us, Pat. How did you first meet this pastor?
Well, this pastor and I are both volunteers on ChristianNet. And one day in December, which is when my birthday is, he decided that he would send some birthday e-cards to pastors and evangelists and just say happy birthday or encouragement. And so he sent me a card. That was our initial contact. I wrote back, and then he went to my website and he listened to my CD, which he really enjoyed. Then later on, he wrote back and we began to communicate on telephone. You know, he said, I'm planning to have a revival. And he said, I'm going to pray about it. I'm really praying about it. He said, I'm going to be asking the Lord's direction as to should you lead the worship for the revival. So he prayed about it. Make a long story short, there I was in Texas in March. He had the revival. It was a week revival. I led the worship. There was a wonderful evangelist there. But you know, Carlotta, it's not a matter of who's there. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit and the anointing from Him on them, the power and the presence of God. That's what causes revival. We are just conduits of that.
Amen.
Yes. And so I went there. It was way beyond what we could have expected to happen. And Yeah, I would just like to read at this time the testimony. I am Thomas Jeffers, the pastor of Living Tree Baptist Church near San Antonio. To begin my testimony, I need to go back to December of 07. I was on ChristianNet, an excellent online Christian community, and I thought I would send some pastors and evangelists birthday cards and encourage them. I sent one to Rev Pat, and when I got a response back, much to my surprise, he was a she. I learned that Pat had a music ministry, and I visited her website. I listened to her CD, and I could feel the anointing through her music. I felt led by God to invite her to lead the worship music for our revival that was coming up in March. She came, and God did great and wonderful works through the revival. Pat was able to minister to many of the ladies in our church and also those in the community. Pat made many friends while she was here, and later in the year, she came back to minister to a family. She told me about Carlotta Waldman and her ministry and asked if I thought I would be interested in having her to do a seminar. I told her I would pray about it, and I did feel a clear leading from God about the issue-focused prayer seminar, and so I set it up with Carlotta. She needed someone for a demo, someone she could work with so the group could see how it was done. Being the pastor, I felt it was my duty to do the demo, and also it was an opportunity for me to deal with the problem that I had growing up. There were 7 kids in my family. I had 4 sisters and 2 brothers. My brothers were perfect and could do no wrong, but I, on the other hand, was a walking disaster. And my mother would always tell me I should be more like my brothers, and one brother 2 years older than me would always call me Jinx. That was his nickname for me. So growing up, that gave me an unhealthy desire to prove myself, to prove him wrong, to be the best at whatever I was doing. I honestly felt when I chose to do this demo, it was something in my past that it no longer had a hold on me. But as we went through the different steps, God was showing me where this problem that I thought was in the past was right there in front of me, driving me as a pastor. When we have an unhealthy issue that drives us, it drives us in the wrong direction. I felt that if I did not do everything perfect, God would remove me from pastorship. That if I fell short as a pastor, God would punish me and the flock would suffer due to my falling short. Now, Carlotta, there is much more to this testimony, but I want to stop right there before I go on. And I want to address what jumped out at me right there, just one issue that not only he faces, but I know even other friends in ministry that have expressed this. It's been at least a pattern over the past 5 years that it is a fact, it's a sad fact, that there are more people leaving the ministry per day than those who are entering.
Amen.
And you know, there are certainly many reasons, well, just different things that people, just ordinary people, struggle with, and pastors are ordinary people. And I don't think sexual immorality would be the number one thing. I don't think going into any areas of lust of any kind, even if that be gambling or addictions. But this is one fear that he expressed, and it brought to mind a song called What If I Stumble? And I want to read just a portion of this song because I believe that today's program, that there are pastors, there are deacons, there are evangelists, there are people who operate in a calling, a specific calling of ministry, who have this fear. And I want you to know you're not alone, but we're going to address this fear. Let me read the lyrics to part of the song and just think, does this ring true for you? Have you ever thought this? And this is by DC Talk. Father, please forgive me, for I cannot compose the fear that lives within me or the rate at which it grows. If struggle has a purpose on the narrow road you've carved, why do I dread my trespass will leave a deadly scar? Do they see the fear in my eyes? Are they so revealing? This time I cannot disguise all the doubt I'm feeling. What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? What if I fall? And you know what comes to mind? And it was actually in the book of Job. Job said, "That which I had feared most has come upon me."
You know, faith works. Whether you have positive faith or negative faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, it will be the substance and the evidence. So whether you have negative faith, believing that your fears will come upon you, they will.
And so I hope that this will address that issue, and we're going to pray later on. And I just want you to examine yourself and ask if this is an issue, and if it is, it certainly needs to be dealt with. So having said that, let me continue on with his email. And this is from Pastor Thomas. When we came to the part of the seminar where we were to seek answers from God, the Holy Spirit fell on the place as God dealt with me on the stage in front of everyone. He took me back to my childhood, and as I would see myself going through the stages of childhood, God would show me these great big chains, like the ones on the big ships for their anchors. And these chains would not just break, they would shatter into millions of tiny pieces. And each time God would destroy one, he would say, "You will no longer walk in bondage." After it was over, I looked up at Carlotta and I told her the vision was over, but she felt that God was not through, so she asked me if I was sure. So I bowed my head and continued praying. And God took me to a field where I was walking down a road with flowers on each side, and the light was so bright. There were no shadows anywhere, not even under the flowers or the trees. All of a sudden, I saw a great dark storm start rolling in. It was the blackest clouds I have ever seen in my life. But as it came over the top of me, it did not cast a shadow. And God said, "You will never walk in darkness again." I did not really understand what he meant until a few weeks later. I was having chest pains on Sunday and was set up for tests that Monday, so I really wasn't that concerned. That Sunday I was too ill to preach, and so I asked a good evangelist friend of mine to preach the service. Afterwards, he called me and talked me into going to the emergency room. While I was in the emergency room, my heart stopped. They found out my vagus nerve was shutting down my heart due to acid reflux. 2 weeks later, on a Friday night, my heart stopped again. This time, unlike the time before, I stood at the entrance of heaven. It was an experience I will never forget. I found out through this I am not afraid to die. I have always preached that a Christian should not fear death but embrace it. Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But Saturday night, when I went to bed anxious, anxiety set in my mind, would say, "What if I don't wake up? Have I done everything I need to do?" I also went through an attack from the deacon body, so my mind was really working on me. God spoke to me and brought to remembrance the vision of me walking through the field. Then he brought to my mind the promises he had made to me. I am to see the great revival of the third awakening. He has called me to grow in his word, and a peace unlike any other I have ever felt fell over me. The issue-focused prayer seminar not only delivered me of a problem from the past I did not know I had, but it also delivered me from a problem in the future that God knew was coming. The members in the church were all delivered from issues of the past. Their walk with God has grown tremendously since the seminar and continues to grow daily. It amazes me what can come out of a simple birthday card. I would recommend to anyone the ministry offered by Carlotta Waldman and Pat Turok. I've seen firsthand how God is working through them. Thank you, Pastor Thomas.
Thank you, Pastor Thomas. You know, I just have to add that it's the pleasure of God to use the most unlikely, because we're always arguing about which one of us was the most unlikely.
I think at this point we should just flip a coin.
Well, maybe we're in a tie, dead heat. But I believe that God is using more and more people that look like the most unlikely, and maybe they don't dress like, look like, act like we think ministers should have acted in the past, but God is using everyone.
How about this? After Jesus arose, he's walking on the road, and his apostles didn't recognize him.
Maybe he didn't look like Jesus.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, God is ready and willing, I think, more than we are willing. Sometimes we worry too much about, will God come through? How will we look? You know, what will people think? But we're seeing people seriously transformed, and that's what we're about. Now that we've got a taste of it a few years ago, we want to see people's lives actually changed. And I think that's why we were recommended to this pastor by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Not because we're internationally famous, although we do touch 94 nations with this broadcast. It's that God wants to really transform people's lives, and as he does that through the unlikely people, he gets all the glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. And we have other testimonies that are coming up, by the way, because now that other people have heard about how this pastor was changed. And here he was, the pastor that thought he would be the jinx. That was his ungodly belief or expectation, that whatever he touched would be jinx. God has just turned all that around.
Of course, it's a blessing.
Right, he had to add some faith to it. But now he was touched in such a profound way, as he was vulnerable, transparent, upfront, as the demo, that he actually overflowed that anointing that the Holy Spirit put on him to the entire congregation.
Oh, I was there.
Everybody was sniffing and, you know, had their head down like, what is this? What's happening? And the Holy Spirit just touched everybody. It was awesome. You know, there's something in it for everybody.
Oh, yes.
For everybody. And if we'll just be the slightest bit open, have the tiniest mustard seed of faith, the Holy Spirit will say, I'll take that. I'll take that. And he had a fear of stumbling and harming others. I love the lyrics to the DC Talk song that you just shared. And he thought he had to be perfect, or God would actually take his pastorate away or punish him.
He said to me that he even feared that if that would happen, that it would cause new believers in the faith to backslide.
And of course, the enemy wants us to be intimidated by most anything and everything. So that we won't step out in faith. He doesn't want us to remember that we're just vessels. We're just containers of the Most High God and Jesus Christ and His Spirit, and that we just overflow that. It's not about our perfect resume. Amen? This pastor wanted to have a freedom to believe that God would really fulfill the calling that he had given him. Isn't that funny how we can be called and then be afraid that God won't be there for us and he'll let us fall on our face? But his mother had set him up with like a false identity.
Yes, she did.
Instead of seeing himself as a blessing, under shepherd, an overflow of God's anointing, he saw himself as a potential jinx to most anything. He thought it was over for him when he got that much of the vision. And sometimes people just need to encourage other people like I did, saying, are you sure? Is that more? Now, most people may have never even seen a vision.
Right.
But when I encouraged him, keep looking. There's always more in Jesus. He saw more.
And what's amazing is the first vision, God took care of his past. But the second vision, God prepared him for what was coming.
And once he was willing to admit those ungodly beliefs that he had to be perfect, that he would be jinxed, that God would punish him, God would remove him, then he went on to the future.
Yes.
And what was he sharing with him about the future?
In the second vision, where he saw bright light and there were flowers, this is a beautiful scene, so this is like a beautiful place in life. This is like a grace scene. This is where I am. But then his health problems, the attacks that came within weeks, God knew it was coming, and that was the great dark clouds, as he said, darker than I have ever seen. He said, but it did not cast a shadow, and God said, you will never walk in bondage again, and fear is a bondage. God said, you will never walk in darkness. Darkness is a form, it's just one form of not knowing what's coming. And you can't see in the dark.
And then when I gave him a word from the Lord that I felt like was not only interpretation of that, but I had already had in my spirit as a word from the Lord, was that there was an occult group that had moved into the area that was already targeting him.
Yes.
And he found out that this was true.
Yes.
And it was a confirmation of the word I had given. The word I had given was also a confirmation of the vision. And then what happened? When we left, you know, God will put fivefold ministers together as a strength to work mm-hmm. together as a team. So it did not manifest while we were there. But we knew to pray for him. And when we left, we began to get the reports of this attack. So naturally, the enemy wants to come against those that are called, those sure. that are anointing, those that are in leadership, cause them to misunderstand each other, to fear each other, to compete with each other, to be
right.
jealous.
Yes.
I think jealousy was one of those spirits.
Right.
But there's something about it. If you know the Spirit of God has told you about it ahead of time, confirmed
yes.
it with a vision and a prophetic word, then you can own your spiritual power and authority with more confidence that if God told me about this, he also has a strategy to overcome what the enemy is trying to do. And one of the things I really like to do, whether with a whole seminar or just individual insights like with this issue-focused seminar, is to give pastors heads up about the strongholds that the enemy is setting up. And I think jealousy and competition for leadership, for power, for respect was definitely manifesting there.
Right.
And it's a help to us all when someone can point out this is based on a deception. Your pastor loves you and you love him. You don't have to listen to this stronghold that says there's something to fear, something to compete about, or something to be jealous of. You know, whatever it is, I don't know where this occult group is coming from. Don't know. But God does. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why don't we just stop now and pray for pastors who may or may not have a whole coven coming against them. They may not have leadership that are not sure what to think about them, and even not sure what to think about me and you, Patty, whether the seminar is okay. But let's pray for pastors that are actually going through false accusation,
right.
having to deal with misunderstanding or real division and separation or any number of things as the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Let's just intercede for pastors.
Absolutely, because this is nothing new. There's been such high profile in the media of so many well-known, and I won't mention any names, well-known ministries that have been brought down, and it's by the occult. You know, our prayers are very strong, but do not be deceived. These occult people, they're praying hard too, and they're doing everything they can to bring people in ministry down. And it's up to us to lift them up higher.
Yes, we need to pray prayers. Instead of criticizing pastor and leadership
yes.
in our country, we need to be, in the name of Jesus, loosing them from the bad things that would come against them and binding them to anything that we know is really God, not just what we want.
Right.
But the Bible says we've been given keys to the kingdom already in
Absolutely.
Matthew, and that we need to pray prayers in Jesus' name to loose them. That means to shatter or separate or to destroy that form of loose. Loose them from things from the enemy and bind, which means bind or to tie to, you know, bind them to things that we know from the Word of God are definitely character traits, fruit, definitely the will of God. So let's just stop now and pray.
Okay.
Father, we thank you for pastors who are willing to be on the front line, who are willing to hear your call, who are willing to step out sometimes where no one else will go, who are willing to love the sheep 24/7, and we undergird them. We stand with them. We come against the enemy of their souls, of their ministries, of their spirits, of their bodies in this case. We come against any assignment of the enemy to take them out, to slow them down, shut them up, cause them to back down, dilute it, become lukewarm, or to quit the ministry. And we break the power of those assignments in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we join with them in the strength of the prayer of agreement to say all assignments of the enemy against them are broken.
Amen. And in addition to that, let's pray that the assignment of God and his call and his angels will be sent out on these ministers, that their territory in every way would be increased, that they would have spiritual eyes to see, that they would see the assault of the enemy, they would see where it's coming from, that they would know how to fight against that, and that they would have their congregation and our prayer intercessors, that we would intercede on their behalf, that things that have held them back in the past, they'd be set free from that.
Amen.
And that God would actually speak blessing into their future, speak greater calling, speak greater power, speak greater anointing, and that this would just be transferred from one to another, from one to another, that it would grow and extend, that the anointing and the power would go from one to another, and that that would continue to multiply.
And we pray for words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophetic words, that they would know what the strategy of the enemy is against them and their congregation.
Yes.
And they would know what the strategy of God is to overcome.
Yes.
And Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the enemy as well as to give life and life abundantly. So we just agree with pastors today that they would have the keen discernment of God.
Yes.
That they would have the mind of Christ. That they would have open eyes and open ears to see and hear things the way God sees them, and they would be able to impart that keen discernment to their congregation, so that as these end times develop and more false teaching and deceptions and lies of the enemy grow and grow, that they will be overcomers.
Yes.
Instead of being on the bottom of the pile, they'll be on the top. That these issues and challenges and stresses, instead of taking them down and shutting them up and intimidating them, that they would rise up in the power of God, and those situations would just be a stage set for a pastor to demonstrate how God does intervene in the lives of real people and how he does deliver us out of all of our distresses.
Yes, he does. And I also pray for strength. And I want to mention that Jesus, God the Son, even needed to be strengthened in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Amen.
And that Jesus, God the Son, even needed to be strengthened in the desert. And so where they're feeling weak, I just pray that God would just not only strengthen that place, but use it as a springboard.
Amen.
In their ministry.
And any of you that are listening, whether you're a pastor, a minister of some kind, whether you have a calling, whether you say, I'm just a believer just getting started, whether you'd like to be a believer, we would just want to encourage you to call us, because that's what we're here for, to minister to real people about real situations so that their faith rises up to see God intervene in their lives. Amen?
And Lord, I pray for supernatural touch. Every single person listening to this broadcast, rather it be on the radio or on the internet, I pray that your spiritual ears are opened, and I pray that you, each and every one of you, receive a special touch from God. We all struggle with different things, but one touch from God takes care of it all. And
Amen.
That is my prayer for you.
You have been listening to Crosswalk Talk with Reverend Carlotta Waldman and Reverend Pat Torek. For more information about personal restoration prayer ministry, our local healing prayer and worship meetings, ministry training seminars, or free healing articles, go to our website, Crosswalk Life, at www.cwlinc.com. If you would like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website or email us at cwt@cwlinc.com. Or call toll-free at 866-480-LIVE. That's 866-480-LIVE. If you would like to help keep Crosswalk Talk on this station, please mail your tax-deductible donation to Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Again, that's Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. And please join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk.
But oh God, I just want you. I could search for earthly things to satisfy my every need.